breaking news this morning.
Bill Belichick is parting ways with the Patriots.
It's a new era in New England.
For me, this is a day of gratitude and celebration. So much thanks for the opportunity to be a coach here for 24 years. Always be a Patriot.
This is a surreal day.
It is a historic moment. It'll never be matched.
It's the greatest run in the history of the NFL.
The greatest coach the National Football League has ever seen.
He's a football genius. Like, I can't believe the greatest coach of all time is moving on.
It represents the end of an era. He is the greatest coach of all time.
We're going to move on. Excited for the future.
It has been an offseason of major changes in New England. New head coach, new rookie quarterback, and a new leader of football operations. Welcome to NFL Live. Glad you're with us. Courtney Cronin joined by two-time Super Bowl champion Booger McFarland, Sam Atro, and Dan Graziano with us for the next 60 minutes. And we start in New England with the Patriots general manager search. Elliot Wolf, the Patriots' director of scouting, has been New England's de facto GM since Bill Belichick's departure in January. He led the Pats through free agency in arguably the franchise's most impactful draft in 30 years. And as Wolf assessed and his own situation on Adam Schefter's podcast, he spoke about how he led the Patriots football operations.
It was a collaborative effort on our part. You know, at the end of the day, someone needed to make the call, and the Crafts entrusted that to me for this, you know, for the spring here. And I'm grateful for that opportunity. We all sat down together and you know, worked together to set the board and create the board and make the best decisions possible for the Patriots. I feel like I was very prepared for it, been thinking about the moment forever. The board fallen pretty well for us and able to pick guys we wanted. That made it a lot easier, but it was a lot of fun.
So the timing of this general manager search, a little abnormal in the NFL world. Graz, I'm going to start with you here. What can you tell us about where things stand with the Patriots in naming a general manager?
Well, interesting, Courtney. They've never had someone with the title of general manager in the 30 years that Robert Kraft has owned the team. Bill Belichick ran the show the whole time he was there. He had the powers of a GM without having the title. His title was head coach. But since they've moved on from Belichick, the front office responsibilities have been split. You know, Elliot Wolf has been the guy, the front man, and he was in charge of the draft. Matt Groh is there, who's been a point man on some of the contract talks they've had with players during this time. So I think Elliot Wolf is probably a strong candidate for the job, but as with any job this high profile in the NFL, they have to interview external candidates. They have to interview minority candidates to satisfy the Rooney Rule, and until they go through that process, it's really hard to say where it will land. It's entirely possible Elliot Wolf comes out of this with a formalization of the role that he's kind of been occupying there the last few months, but obviously there's a ways to go in terms of the interview process with other people before any of that can be finalized.
Sam, a lot of changes within this Patriots locker room, within the coaching staff and the front office. How do the front office changes impact this team in the offseason?
I think it makes the team stronger. Back in February, I was sitting at a table with about 8 or 9 different Patriots players and some of their wives, and you could tell that there was a strong sense of community, right? Matthew Slater had just announced his retirement, and so now he's taken on a role within that team, helping out the new coach in Jerod Mayo. But I think if I'm a player, there's a sense of excitement. Why? Because yes, we know the foundation has been laid, and yes, we have a young quarterback, but now each and every one of us have to do our jobs. What do I mean by that? I mean Hunter Henry, right? Be that security blanket at tight end for your quarterback. I'm going offensive lineman. Caden Wallace, third round pick out of Penn State. You may have to step up and be the left tackle to protect the blind side of Drake May. Defensively, you got guys like Christian Gonzalez, Matt Judon. Judon's been there for some years. Dietrich Wise. Everyone gets to do their job with this new regime, but there's still this tight sense of community and culture. So I've sensed a feeling of excitement.
We haven't seen business done in New England in any other way than Bill Belichick running the show, Booger, for a really long time. So now that there will be somebody else calling the shots differently from that GM position, what are the most pressing needs that person needs to address this year and then beyond?
Courtney, that's a great question, and I'm going to get to it in 1 second. As soon as I give Acho a shout-out, hey, Acho, the Kentucky Derby was Saturday, man. You got your Kentucky Derby outfit on, Graz. You and I didn't get the memo today, did we? My man, I thought the Derby was on Saturday, Graz.
Courtney and I just trying to bring up the level of dress on the show. That's it. Nothing major.
I get it. But
that's been my experience.
Exactly. To answer your question, Courtney, there's a lot that needs to be done. This is a team that's void of talent. Yes, they get Drake May with the third overall pick, but right now, Drake May is not scheduled to start, nor is he probably scheduled to play if you really want to be honest. This team needs talent everywhere. Right now, you look at Jalen Polk, it's Kendrick Bourne, KJ Osborne, all being thrown to about Jacoby Brissett. It doesn't quite scare people, especially in the AFC that's murderer's row. So I think if you're Elliott Wolf, who I think is going to ultimately be the GM, I think you got a lot to do defensively. They got some pieces on defense. You get your young corner, the first-round pick, coming back. They re-signed Kyle Duggar. They have a couple pieces. But overall, this is a team, kind of like me and Graz on this show with Acho, we are void of talent that Acho has presented us with his Kentucky Derby suit today.
Man, we are off to a hot start here on NFL Live. As you saw on that depth chart there, the Patriots can afford to be patient with Drake May. He is not listed there as QB1. He's only 21 years old. New England signed Jacoby Brissett to a one-year deal this offseason. Moving on, staying in the AFC, the Tennessee Titans continue to beef up their receiving core by signing former Bengals wide receiver Tyler Boyd to a one-year contract worth $4.5 million per ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. It's another weapon for second-year quarterback Will Levis, and one who knows this offense very well after spending five seasons in Cincinnati in Brian Callahan's system. And this continues a very busy offseason for the Tennessee Titans. You see the additions there. They added another wide receiver in Calvin Ridley, who had over 1,000 yards for AFC South rival Jacksonville last season. Not too shabby of a receiver trio behind with Ridley, Boyd, and DeAndre Hopkins. Tennessee also moving out Derrick Henry in free agency, replacing him with running back Tony Pollard. And on defense, Titans added cornerback Lajarius Sneed in a trade with the Kansas City Chiefs. So, Graz, we know they've made a lot of these moves with the investment to build around Will Levis in year two. What have you heard about how they view their young quarterback?
Yeah, I think, Courtney, they see a lot of upside with Will Levis, and they believe that last year he showed flashes of his potential. But obviously it's still too soon in his career to know for sure, you know, can this be the long-term franchise quarterback? So I think their plan this offseason was to surround him with the best possible group so that he could show them, so he could help answer those questions. Only fair to provide him with good protection and good weapons if you're going to make a judgment on him in terms of your long-term. So I think this year is something of an audition for Will Levis. It's possible they get to the end of it and think they may have to look elsewhere, but they wanted to give him the best possible chance to show how good he can be before they make that judgment.
Certainly helps when you have an upgraded group around you. And Acho, that's where I want to go next here. Knowing the additions that they've made, how much confidence do you have in Levis being able to show he's the guy with these new weapons?
Yeah, my confidence is still low in Will Levis, and some of that's based off of what I saw statistically, but also some of that is based off of what we saw just from what was around him. Last year, Will Levis, I think in the Texans game in week 14 or so, got sacked seven different times. So what do you do in the offseason? You go and you address it. You go and get Lloyd Cushenberry. You go and get J.C. Latham in the draft. And so hopefully that will help. But no matter how many weapons are put around you, either if you're holding on to the ball too long, you can't get the ball to those weapons, doesn't matter who is at receiver or your slot receiver or your X, or it doesn't matter. And so for me, I think that the jury is definitely still out. But the benefit is this: at least you're building from the inside out. Whether Will Levis proves he can do it now or not, you have the pieces on the outside and on the offensive line now.
Yeah, and Archer, when you talk about those pieces, let's give Rand Carthon, the GM, a shout-out, because he's kind of transformed this roster from last year to this, where they got talent everywhere on this roster. So you got to give Rand Carthon a huge shout-out, because he has put the onus on Will Levis. I don't want to talk about no mayonnaise and the coffee. I don't want to talk about some of these eating habits you had. Here's what I want to talk about, Will Levis. You got playmakers everywhere on the field. You went and got Lloyd Cushenberry, Rand Carthon did. You got J.C. Latham, who I think was the best right tackle in the draft. So there are pieces there now. The onus falls on Will Levis. Can you get it done? No longer are you a rookie. You got your feet wet last year. Can you come out this year and have a better season and more production? We know he's tough. We know he's physically gifted. But can you do what the quarterback position is required to do? Can you distribute the football from the pocket? Ultimately, that's going to be a key. I like Acho. I still need to see more, because if you are going to figure out if he's your franchise quarterback, you have to do it this year. If not, the cycle starts over for the Tennessee Titans.
We're talking Fitz. We're talking Manning. I love it. We're off to a roaring start here on NFL Live. The Titans know that they need to protect Will Levis. As you saw, he's got a new left tackle there. Seventh overall pick in J.C. Latham. The Titans allowed a sack rate, which was the second highest in the NFL last season. Now we move on to a developing story. Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice is a suspect in an alleged assault that injured a man in Dallas, police told the Dallas Morning News. The newspaper had reported that a man was taken to the hospital with swelling on the side of his face. No charges have been filed as of Wednesday afternoon, and the Chiefs said that they have no comment. Rice, who emerged as the leading receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs during his rookie season in 2023, is already facing 8 charges in Dallas for his alleged involvement in a multi-car crash in March that left at least 7 people injured. All right, we are just getting started here on NFL Live. Defensive coordinators have been on the move in the NFC East, and the Commanders added one as their new head coach. Will this prove to be the difference maker in Washington? Acho has the answer. Plus, there's a lot of fresh faces in the Bears locker room surrounding Caleb Williams. What should realistic expectations be for this roster in year one? Boog tells us next.
NFL Live is brought to you by Astepro Allergy, nasal allergy relief that starts working in 30 minutes.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Here's the Week 7 UFL schedule. Saturday, the Renegades look for their first win against the Showboats at 1 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Plus. Then the 6-0 Stallions host the 5-1 Battle Hawks on Fox. Sunday's our ESPN doubleheader, Panthers DC Defenders at noon Eastern, followed by the Brahmas and the Roughnecks. Big changes on the defensive side of the ball. All 4 teams in the NFC East will have a new defensive coordinator this season, the first time that's happened in the division since 2012. Dan Quinn left the Cowboys to take the Commanders' head coaching job, was replaced by Mike Zimmer in Dallas. Quinn then hired Joe Witt as his DC in Washington. The Eagles fired Sean Desai and replaced him with Vic Fangio. The Giants and Wink Martindale parting ways, and New York replaced him with Shane Bowen. Time to go on trend, where I'll present a stat on each of these defenses, and our crew's going to tell you whether that trend continues or not. We'll start in Dallas, where the Cowboys defense led the NFL in takeaways during Dan Quinn's 3 seasons as their DC under Quinn. Dallas pressured opposing quarterbacks on 36% of their dropbacks, the highest rate in the NFL. Booger, can the Cowboys defense keep this up with Quinn no longer there?
Yes, I think they can, but I'm going to have a caveat. The caveat is simply this: can Mike Zimmer's new defense stop the run? And that's going to be up to, I think, defensive tackle, first-round pick from 2023, Mozzie Smith. All accounts is he's having a good offseason. We know what Micah Parsons is going to be. We know where DeMarcus Lawrence is going to be. If they can stop the run, they got some dogs on that defense that can get out to the quarterback. That will be the key. Can they stop the run? The last time we saw them, Green Bay ran it down their throat.
All right, to Washington, the Commanders allowed over 30 points per game last season, nearly 4 points worse than any other team It's also the most points per game that Washington has allowed in a season since the 1950s. Acho, will Dan Quinn go from Dallas to Washington to turn around this Commanders defense?
He will. He will stop the bleeding that we're seeing right now, that we were seeing in Washington. Why? Because of some of the stars he got during the draft. Jerjon Newton from Illinois, interior player, one of the most disruptive defensive linemen in the draft to go along with guys like Deron Payne, who are already on that roster. And then Mike Sanrestil from Michigan, the national champion, put him in the slot. He's another one of these great defenders who you're going to see step up in this defense. Bobby Wagner in the middle, all of a sudden, defense will go from worst to maybe not first, but better.
Next up, New York. Under Wink Martindale last season, the Giants blitzed opposing quarterbacks at the second highest rate in the NFL. However, despite such a high blitz rate, the Giants ranked in the bottom 10 in the NFL, both sacks and pressure rate. Booger, you expect the Giants' pass rush to be better this season?
Yes, I think their pass rush will be better. I don't think they're going to blitz as much. That's the reason you go out and you get Brian Burns from Carolina. You pay him a ton of money. You think Kayvon Thibodeau is going to take that next step. And, oh, by the way, they got the best nose tackle in football in Dexter Lawrence. So that front four should be absolutely dominant. And if your front four is getting to the quarterback, that means you don't have to blitz as much. I think it's going to be as much pressure, just a different way in New York.
Now to Philly. I apparently dressed for the occasion. The Eagles' defense was one of the worst in the NFL last season, especially when it came to defending the pass. The Eagles allowed nearly 253 passing yards per game, second worst in the NFL, ahead of only the Commanders, and they allowed 35 touchdown passes, only came away with 9 interceptions. Acho, we know the Eagles invested 4 draft picks on this side of the ball. Does that lead this defense to bouncing back in 2023?
No, it's not the draft picks. It's the coordinator that they invested in. They went and got Vic Fangio, and he's going to lead them back to significantly better. I played under Vic Fangio for 4 years, and yes, the draft picks will matter. Jalix Hunt, who they got, I believe, in the third round, is going to be a dominant player in Vic's system. That's going to be a big pick. Obviously, the two corners that they got as well, those are going to be two big picks. Cooper DeJean could play in the slot, but more than anything, it's Vic. Vic really helped create the 3-4 defense, so he's going to help install that in this system. Not going to be someone who learned from Vic. It's going to be Vic doing it himself.
We'll have a chance to see those changes begin to take shape in 4 months. Adam Schefter reporting last night that the NFL schedule will be released 1 week from today, Wednesday, May 15th. Mark your calendars. Next season's schedule will feature 9 rematches of playoff football games from a year ago. So I want to know, which rematch are you most excited for? Acho, you're going first.
I'm excited for the Packers versus the 49ers. Why is that? Because Jordan Love is getting better and better and better. Remember last season, towards the end of the season, I think it was 17 touchdowns, only 1 interception. Remember in the playoffs, the postseason, what he did against the Dallas Cowboys? Now all of a sudden, he'll get a chance to play San Francisco again. And not only that defense, but a monumental matchup with 2 of the best teams in the NFC. So give me Jordan Love versus San Francisco. I can't wait to see it.
Acho, I'm going to go with Chiefs-Bills. I was at the Chiefs-Bills playoff game and know what it feels like to see 70,000 people have their hearts ripped out in the final 2 minutes of a game. I want to see if the Bills can avenge that loss, and I want to see what the difference is between these two teams. I think there's a perception that the Chiefs have gotten better this offseason and the Bills worse. I want to see if they're still closely matched.
Yeah, I like that one, Graz. I'm going Lions and 49ers. I mean, we saw it last year in the postseason. The Lions, can they take that next step? A lot of people are going to pick the Detroit Lions to go to the Super Bowl. And quite frankly, the 49ers have been picked to go to the Super Bowl like the last 3 or 4 years. So it'll be talent on talent. 2 teams that want to be physical, that want to instill their will against the opponent. I can't wait to see this rematch.
I guess I'm picking the low-hanging fruit here. I'm looking at this rematch of Super Bowl 58, the thrilling overtime game. We're questioning the 49ers' decision to take the ball, and then we watch Chris Jones wreak havoc in overtime. The Chiefs have become the 49ers' biggest rival, obviously, since playing in the Super Bowl twice against them since 2019. Maybe this foreshadows the Super Bowl 59 matchup we will see next February. Coming up next, Jared Goff has stolen the heart of Detroit faithful by taking this team to the NFC Championship. Is it Super Bowl or bust for this team next season? Someone here thinks a new standard has been set in the Motor City.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Jared Goff has been written off, and I don't understand why. Detroit is that team that people still don't take seriously.
He's gone, baby! It's to Montgomery. Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
The Detroit Lions are division champs.
Let's go! Deal the game. Put it in Goff's hands.
There's Goff, throws, it is caught. I'm in Ross St. Brown. For the first time since 1992, these Detroit Lions are going to win a playoff game. Mayfield back, loads, throws, pick up, we're going to San Francisco.
Lions led this by 17 at the half, and that lead just evaporated.
Well, our guys' eyes are open, and this should be the ultimate motivation to push forward, and it will be.
Jared Goff and the Lions were one of the feel-good stories of the year after their run to the NFC Championship. But it wasn't always that way. In 2021, Goff was traded to Detroit in a blockbuster deal that sent Matthew Stafford to the Rams, a move that far from discouraged him, but led Goff to embrace his new situation and the city. He not only helped turn around a franchise on the field, but as Jeff Darlington tells us, the quarterback's effect on the community was just as impactful.
Lions have traded quarterback Matthew Stafford to the Rams for Jared Goff and a whole bunch of draft picks.
Sean McVay wanted a new quarterback. This is a no-brainer move for the Los Angeles Rams.
I know he's hungry. Man, we were thrilled to have this guy. So without further ado, Jared Goff.
I feel a responsibility to be there for your city when you're the quarterback. I feel a responsibility to be a leader and to be a person in your community.
In March 2021, Jared Goff was shipped to a city he didn't know much about, and a city that didn't know much about him. Just 2 years removed from playing in the Super Bowl, Goff was an afterthought, perceived by many as a mere bridge until Detroit found its next quarterback.
When the trade happened and we were able to acquire Jared, I didn't totally understand the narrative of, you know, oh, he just got casted off.
Lions GM Brad Holmes was the Rams' director of college scouting in 2016 when they made Goff the number one pick.
Drafting him in LA and being with him for all that time, I had a lot of background and intel on who he was as a person. I don't know if the city knew about his mental and physical toughness.
I didn't know much about Detroit. I know football is king here, and I plan to make it a winner.
He had to battle a lot of adversity. Things weren't going the best for him, and you got booze coming out. The more he battled through and showed that toughness and showed that grit and then start rattling off some wins, and now they're cheering for him.
Goff throws, end zone, caught, touchdown Detroit Lions!
As Goff started to grow on the fan base, off the field, he'd already begun growing on the Detroit community, volunteering with local food pantries, paying for winter coats to be distributed to the homeless community, and creating a special connection with a group of students.
Hello. Hey. What's up, guys? I come with some gifts for y'all.
It was so fun to be with them in that setting, as well as watch them grow and flourish and be able to be a small part of their journey. Just giving time and want to get you guys some things for all your hard work and everything you've done, so.
No way.
Goff began a unique partnership with a local youth organization called Give Merit. He asked high schoolers to help him create custom logos for his JG16 clothing line. He then donated the sales of those clothes back to the program. During those visits, Goff created a bond with four students who were intimately involved in the project. For them, he wanted to do something more.
For every year that you guys continue to go, will be an extra $5,000 for your schooling.
I was really happy. I told my mom, like, oh shoot, I got a scholarship. Like, that was my first scholarship that I've ever gotten.
He has that father personality. Like, he would want to see his kids grow and strive to be someone great.
This isn't just for show. This is actually who he is. This is something that's a part of him and something that's special for him.
Late last year, those students had a message for Jared that suggested he is now a part of Detroit.
All you got to do is hit play. We got something for you.
Hi, Jared. It's Kyla from Faith.
Your kindness and generosity has provided me with amazing opportunities.
You've made a real impact in our city and on me.
Your support has helped shape out my future, which has given me so many opportunities.
You have been recognized as Walter Payton Man of the Year for the Detroit Lions. Congratulations.
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 Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Try not to get emotional about it. Yeah.
How have they impacted your life?
They've given me great perspective. They've allowed me to see, you know, how talented and creative they are, and they deserve the world.
You got a kid that's been in California his whole life. You look at Jared now, he is Detroit now. And he's what we're about. And it's been really cool to see.
Leave the place better than how you found it. That is awesome stuff there from the Lions quarterback. And Jared Goff had a pretty awesome season last year, 4,600 yards, which trailed just to a Tagovailoa. He capped off his third season with the Lions, 30 touchdowns, the fourth most in the NFL. And that production helped get this Detroit team to a 12-win season. Only Lamar Jackson won more games than Goff during the regular season. Goff now entering the final year of his contract. Despite playing eight seasons already in the NFL, he's still only 29 years old. So, Graz, the Lions have already given contract extensions both to Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell this offseason, but not Jared Goff. What more can you tell us about where those negotiations stand?
Well, they've had some talks, but I don't get the sense that it's very close yet at this point. Quarterback deals are a little bit tougher, and the big question for Jared Goff and the Lions is where he fits into the broader quarterback landscape. That last offseason, you saw extensions for Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, and Joe Burrow. As you see here, they all cleared $50 million a year. Now, does Jared Goff deserve to reset the top of the quarterback market? You know, probably not, but can he get over 50? That's where the negotiations happen. Like, how can he crack $50 million a year? Can he go over it? If so, by how much? If I'm his agent, I'm bringing that Darlington feature with me to the negotiating table, reminding Brad Holmes of all the great things he said about him, and we'll see if we can get him over $50 million. But I think this is something that happens at some point this offseason. It's just a question of where he fits in among the other highest-paid quarterbacks in the league.
Far from the days where we heard the narrative that Jared Goff was a bridge quarterback for this Detroit team. Now, Booger, has he shown enough that he is worthy of this long-term contract from Detroit?
Yes, he has. And you can call him a bridge quarterback. You can call him what you want. Here's the facts. He's gone to a Super Bowl. He's taken the Rams there. He's went to the NFC Championship game with the Detroit Lions. He's played above average football. And regardless of what you think he's worth, this is where he fits in right now. The contract is going to get done. It's going to come in somewhere between $50 and $55 million a year. And what you can't do is say, is Jared Goff worth $50 to $55 million a year? What you have to ask is this. Based on what he's done and based on what the quarterbacks are making right now, where does he fit? And he fits right in. If you look at Jalen Hurts, who's making 52, you look at Lamar Jackson, you look at some of these other quarterbacks, and Jared Goff's accomplishments as far as where he's been in the postseason is right there with him. So I understand some people may look at him as being just an above-average quarterback, but it's the most important position in sports, and that's what these guys are making right now. I just wish that I could throw a football and have been born about 30 years later, because my goodness. I mean, when guys like this are making $55 million a year, my goodness.
Yeah, and every team, so we think, in the NFC North right now has a quarterback, so it makes it a very competitive division. Acho, let's go a little bit broader than that. Where do you have the Lions in the entire landscape of the NFC after last season?
Well, they've set a new standard, at least for their organization. They're right up there at the top or near the top. And what do I mean by that, a standard? In college, I played for Mac Brown. And he had a saying always, he would say, the standard is the standard. No matter who comes in this building and who leaves this building, we have a new standard set. What do they do this offseason? They went and they signed Amon-Ra St. Brown to a long-term deal. They went and signed Penei Sewell to a long-term deal. David Montgomery is still there. You went and got Jahmyr Gibbs last year in the draft. There is a new standard in Detroit. We saw them go to the NFC Championship. So no longer is it, hey, let's hope to get to the playoffs and hope to win a playoff game. No, it's NFC Championship at a minimum. That needs to be their standard. And then if the Super Bowl comes, of course, that's the goal. But at the very minimum, this team is one of the best, if not the best, in the NFC.
Lions were one half away from reaching the Super Bowl last season. Time now for some top stories where we'll look at some of the other quarterbacks looking for a new bag. Graz, what can you tell us about Dak Prescott's contract situation?
Yeah, he's eligible for free agency at the end of this year, carrying a $55 million cap number for 2024, and right now carrying a cap number of a little over $40 million for 2025, even though he's not under contract next year. The Cowboys are very conscious of not wanting to add to that 2025 number too much, so this is a deal that might need to wait until after this season and next spring in order to finally be completed. We'll see if the teams are a team and the player are on the same page there. Jordan Love in Green Bay. He did a two-year extension this time last year. It was really kind of a placeholder deal, so the team didn't have to make a decision on the fifth-year option for a player who hadn't done anything yet. But he's in line for an extension. We were talking about Jared Goff. Can he get to that kind of level? And where does he rank among the highest-paid quarterbacks? High 40s, low 50s, whatever that is. Those are the conversations they'll be having with Jordan Love. And Tua Tagovailoa of the Dolphins, very similar situation. He's entering his fifth-year option season, eligible for an extension. There have been talks on this, and I think they've gone pretty well so far. I would expect to see this deal done at some point this offseason. Not to sound like a broken record, but again, it's a question of where does he slot in relative to the deals that got done last year? How close can he get to Burrow and Herbert and those guys? And one thing that'll help him whenever he does get on the field this year is a new wide receiver, free agent Odell Beckham Jr. The Dolphins officially announcing their signing of him earlier today, so he joins that wide receiver core with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, and he's on his fifth team now, unbelievably. I remember Odell when he was just a rookie with the Giants. It doesn't seem like that long ago.
All right, good stuff, Graz. Still to come here on NFL Live, the Bears are stacked with weapons on the offensive side of the ball. Can they make noise in the NFC this season? Acho thinks so. Find out why next.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
There have been a lot of Asian American athletes that have inspired me over the years, but one that comes to mind, being someone who covers football, is Steelers wide receiver Hines Ward. For a number of reasons. He was born in South Korea, he's half Korean like me, and he's been very outspoken about the challenges of growing up biracial, both in Korea and in America. He's done a lot of activism in the area as well, which has been really cool to watch over the course of his career. I always looked up to him growing up. I still look up to him. He's an incredible person and a role model.
Time now to read and react, starting in Cincinnati, where Joe Burrow is back on the field and addressed his mindset as he tries to return from the wrist injury that ended last season for him.
I try to keep my mindset a day at a time. I think that's the the best way that you can handle situations like these. This has definitely been one of the most challenging parts of my life for the last several months, but we're getting through it and continuing to improve, you know, mentally and physically every day. So it's definitely a challenge and a process.
We saw him throwing on Tuesday. Graz, what more can you tell us about Burrow's return to the field?
Well, they're going to be careful, Courtney. Think about Joe Burrow. He's never had a normal offseason. 2020, he's a rookie and they had COVID. 21, he's coming off major knee surgery. 22, emergency appendectomy in training camp. Last year, he pulled a calf muscle first day at training camp. He is used to this. They would love for him to be full strength when training camp starts. They have some hope that that's possible, but they are going to be very, very conscious to try and avoid setbacks because they want him to have as much training camp as possible, really for the very first time in his NFL career.
All right, we move on now to a comment that has made big waves on social media. Former NBA player Austin Rivers went on the Pat McAfee show to explain why he believes basketball players are more athletic than football players.
I could take 30 players right now in the NBA and throw them in the NFL. You cannot take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA.
It's because you only allow five on the court. Let's all relax.
Yeah, you get a break every play. All you gotta do is catch the ball and run north or south.
Listen, our sport.
It ain't complex.
30 players. You heard that right. That's spicy. NFL players quickly responded, rather clapped back at the claims made by Rivers. Hall of Famer Randy Moss sent out, quote, "Wow, really?" Saint safety Tyrann Mathieu tweeted, "I usually don't get into this, but if you're not a perennial all-NBA defender, you can't guard me. It's impossible." Whew. And soon-to-be Hall of Famer J.J. Watt was more direct to Rivers, saying, "You don't got a job in either right now. Go ahead and try it." So some harsh truths there lobbied over at Austin Rivers. Boog, what do you think about the comments made by Rivers? Is it possible that NBA players would have more success in the NFL than the other order?
Well, I think if we all get out of our feelings, I think we can be honest and say this. NBA players are probably more athletic because these guys are 6'6 to 7 foot. They can jump 45 inches and do flips and do all these different things. That's a fact. NFL players are a lot tougher. I can't remember the last time I've seen an NFL player flop. If you blow on LeBron James, he falls down. If you blow on some of these guys, they turn to the referee. Imagine Shai Gilgeous-Alexander coming across the middle and somebody hitting him as he catches a slant. He may never play football ever again. That's just the mentality of it. So I understand there are some players in either sport that can go both ways, but let's be honest. Like, those dudes are legitimate unicorns that are 6'7" and can jump 40 plus inches, but they also soft as hell. Let's just be honest.
And I think the difference, if we're just getting right down to it, it's the physicality. That's the difference. You see people playing celebrity basketball games, maybe even celebrity, maybe 7-on-7 games. But what makes football different is when you put those pads on and it's physical. So even as a defensive player, a lot of offenses, they want to be, okay, boom, let's make it 7-on-7. Let's try and get that offensive line out of it. But as a defensive lineman, outside linebacker, you know your job is to hit. Point blank, even as a safety, as a corner. And so I think that's the difference that a lot of people, at least Austin Rivers in this case, is not taking into account, the physicality of getting hit every single play.
All right, we've got one more tweet here. 11-year NFL vet Chris Long boiling down this argument to this. He posted, "NFL training camps are the main reason that NBA players don't cross over. Last time I checked, I never heard of load management in the NFL. Maybe it'll make its way over. Maybe it won't." All right, coming up next here on NFL Live, the Bears rookie class has gotten right to work, spending some quality time bonding together. Find out where they've been spotted around the Windy City. Coming up next.
NFL Live is brought to you by the all-new three-part docuseries Black Twitter, A People's History, streaming May 9th on Hulu.
Here's the next UFC Fight Night from the Enterprise Center in St. Louis with a heavyweight main event that should be a slugfest. Prelims begin Saturday for Eastern, followed by the main card at 7 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN+. New Bears quarterback Caleb Williams doing it big in the Windy City before rookie minicamp and OTAs. He brought the bear claw to Wrigley Field, taking in a Cubs game with some teammates. And then last night, he and wide receivers Rome Odunze, Keenan Allen, watching Angel Reese and the Chicago Sky beat the Liberty in the preseason finale. Williams going to have plenty to work with in his first year under center in the NFL. Bears added Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze to a wide receiver group that already included DJ Moore. Allen and Moore both had over 1,200 receiving yards last season. Odunze led college football in receiving. Chicago also signed running back DeAndre Swift to help a unit that ranked top five in rushing yards last season. Acho, let's talk about this core that is around Caleb Williams. How does that alter expectations for the Bears in 2024?
What rises expectations? And I think the obvious reason is not just the trio of receiver. That's the obvious reason. But I think the DeAndre Swift addition should be pointed out even more so. Why do I say that? DeAndre Swift has big playability. And so, yes, the Bears have loved to run the ball over the last several years. I mean, you go back to 2 years ago, or maybe it was three. They were one of the top rushing offenses in the entire NFL. But now all of a sudden you had a guy who can make people miss on the second level. So that's a big piece people don't mention. Then you look at some of the pictures, the team, the bonding. I believe the Bears play in the Hall of Fame game this year. So they start practice early. They have early training camp. You saw him with Rome Odunze, Keenan Allen in the back of that picture. You saw him with Roschon Johnson, another running back on that team. And so the chemistry and culture is building. The foundation has been set. The standard has been risen.
Yeah, there's no question it's exciting. And you look at the players that they've added and the players they have coming back and the way they finished last year, it's an exciting time to be a Bears fan. It's also a fascinating one, Courtney, as you well know. I mean, the new offensive coordinator coming in there. Everyone who's on this page right now has to learn a new system together. You can't know for sure how ready Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze are to play in the NFL. They could jump right in and be great right away, but not everyone does. So I think things are on the upside. Swing there in Chicago. There's no question about it, but I am interested to see how quickly it all comes together. They're playing in a brutally tough division with the Lions and the Packers, both playoff teams from last year, and it won't be easy, but it sure looks like it's going to be fun in Chicago.
I'm glad I have both of you here because I'm obviously close to the situation. This is the team I cover for ESPN. So you mentioned playoffs. That word is, you know, buzzing around Chicago right now. Acho, are playoffs a realistic expectation for a team that was 7-10 last season?
Absolutely, Courtney. And you said you cover the Bears. Well, I played for the Bears for almost half of my career, and I got a chance to not only cover this team after I finished playing, but continue to watch them over the last several years while at ESPN. And last year, they were just okay. At least defensively, they got better and better. What do they do in the offseason? Yes, you talk about the guys you see on your screen and Caleb Williams, etc. But defensively is where I think they're going to make their biggest strides. They re-signed Jalen Johnson. Why does that matter? He was one of the best graded, the most highest graded corners in the entire NFL. They got him re-signed, part one. Part two, they went and got Kevin Byard as well on the defensive side of the ball. And so we're seeing all the offensive highlights and offensive stars, and that is great and outstanding and needed. What we're not talking about is the consistency at defense. Remember, they lost their defensive coordinator halfway through, week three of last year, and Matt Eberflus took over play calling duties. So now you have more consistency in that defense and then better, higher caliber players as well.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the underappreciated parts of last year's Bears story is how well the defense was one of the best defenses in the league over the final 6-7 weeks of the season. Sacho, you mentioned Matt Eberflus, the head coach, was also serving as the defensive coordinator. They brought somebody in to fill that job this year, so he'll have that taken off his plate. You know, you go back to November last year, anybody you talked to about coaching searches was talking about the likelihood of an opening at head coach in Chicago. The way they played at the end of last year and the way they played on defense and his ability to handle it all is what brought Eberflus back to build on the late season success from last year.
2 days away from rookie minicamp in Chicago. I will be there and probably right back here on NFL Live. Time for one more thing. Chad Johnson had some interesting thoughts when talking with T.O. considering another comeback at the age of 50. Take a listen.
He last played in 2010.
Yeah.
Nobody called in 2011, 2012. Yeah. 2013, 14, right. 15, 16, 17, 18, yeah. 19. So now they're going to call it 2024.
Are there 160 players better than T.O. right now?
At the age of 50, yes.
Man, you tripping, man. T.O. can play right now. I'm standing on that hill.
Play what?
Anything.
Flag?
Nah, flag who? Nah. 49ers. T gonna be like, let's go, T.
The audacity, my goodness. For Booger, Acho, and Graz, I'm Courtney Cronin. We'll see you tomorrow.
Nope.